This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Along with the big gubernatorial races in Virginia and New Jersey today, there are mayoral elections in a lot of cities, including here in New York. One thread that's common to a lot of those city races is the issue of income inequality, because when you take a local look, that phrase, income inequality, can mean pretty different things depending on where you are. From the Wealth and Poverty Desk, Marketplace's Chrissy Clark has that story.
In the last few decades, in big cities across America, the gap between the richest residents and everyone else has been growing wider. Take New York City. Back in 1980, the richest 1% of New Yorkers claimed 12% of the city's total income. Now, they claim almost 39%. But for the average person living in a city, it's not so much those statistics that they notice. It's more a feeling.
The other day, I happened to be walking by the block in Park Slope where I lived in 1990.
That's Kevin Slavin, a professor at MIT who's lived most of his life in New York City. Recently, Slavin passed by a building that used to be his local corner store, a place where people from all walks of life stopped in for conversation, cheap groceries, and heroin, if you wanted that. Today, that building
is now the cat clinic of Park Slope. It's now daycare for your kittens.
Kitten daycares where bodega drug fronts used to be, luxury lofts built on former squats, subways where you once had to guard your wallet but now feel comfortable pulling out your $1,000 laptop. On the one hand, Slavin, who's neither rich nor poor, says these changes in the city have a real upside for him. Less crime in many areas, less concern about getting mugged.
I mean, my life is definitely easier to live without fear than with it. It is better.
But Slavin says he also feels like something's been lost as a growing percentage of his city has more and more wealth.
You start to build out the city for that wealth. And there was something that was important and beautiful and worth preserving about living shoulder to shoulder with lots of people who were not at all like you.
There's a price to prosperity that really needs to be grappled with.
Bruce Katz directs the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. He says cities like Boston and New York that were left for dead in the 1970s have come back with a vengeance as crime rates dropped and city services improved.
In the last 10 years, I've really seen the flourishing of these places. There are consequences to that for people left behind and for neighborhoods left behind.
But ironically, when low-income families have to move out of a city because they can't afford it anymore, that actually reduces income inequality, points out Ed Glazer, a professor at Harvard who studies the economics of cities. Glazer says the luxury lofts that attract rich people to a city and the social services and public transit that attract the poor, those can be good things that keep a city economically diverse.
The downside, really, of the extremes of wealth and poverty in cities is where is the middle? And the problem is that cities have not been particularly hospitable places for middle-income Americans, particularly those with families.
Glazer says that's the real challenge for cities where income inequality has become a hot-button issue: how to create more opportunities for working families to survive and thrive. I'm Chrissy Clark for Marketplace.